Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. And we're listening to the music of India Ari singing about the worst disease, which is not cancer, AIDS, or other diseases, but she calls it hate. That's the worst disease in the world. So I thank you for joining me tonight on Soul Purpose Healing. This is a beautiful night, full moon night in Orlando, Florida. That's where I'm recording from. And we've had so much rain here. It's just been awesome because the thunder is actually shaking my place sometimes. And it says to me sometimes that the Creator is speaking for us to wake up. Wake up. All this thunder and rain is a blessing for sure, because when you think about California, California is in a drought, and along with many other places on the planet are in a drought. But we here in Florida have We have a rainy days every day, practically raining every day here in Florida. So we're very grateful here in Florida, and I hope wherever you are that you are expressing gratitude, because that's one of the most powerful energies that you can vibrate in your being, is to express gratitude. So thank you once again for joining me on Soul Purpose Healing tonight. Tonight we're talking about the number one reason that we suffer from health challenges, or what we have come to call diseases. And in my book, My Body is Talking to Me, I elaborate on the word disease, and I explain that that word disease really means a temporary lack of ease in the body, or what we might understand as a lack of homeostasis. Many of us understand the word homeostasis is balance. So we are, many of us are asking the question, what is it that's keeping me off balance? What is it that has my physical and my mental and emotional state out of balance? So I wasn't thinking as much about that question as to just what am I going to talk about tonight? And I get several emails from all sorts of enlightened and holistic individuals, and I listened to a talk show from Jonathan on the Natural News broadcast, and he was interviewing one of my favorite people, Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you're not familiar with Dr. Bernie Siegel, you really should go to his website, because he has retired, but he is still doing a wonderful work to help in the healing and the balancing of our energy. In fact, he has on his website, he has what he calls 365 prescriptions for the soul. And just a little bit about Dr. Bernie Siegel, he worked as a pediatric surgeon for many, many years. He wrote a book called Love, Medicine, and Healing, I think it's called. And this book was just revolutionary. It was so transforming. Love Miracles. It was called Love, Miracles, and Healing. And it was so transformative that the medical system, the medical establishment, was just crazy. Love, Medicine, and Miracles is the name. That was his first book. Since then, he's written 12 books. But he was total revolutionary, total radical, because he was talking about things like emotional healing and love and healing and all that back in the 80s. And he retired in 89, but he's still doing an amazing work to help the humans on the planet to heal. So I listened to his interview, and the very beginning of the interview got my attention. I was in the kitchen listening, doing some things, preparing a food, and the interviewer asked him the question, he said, so many people, or so many of us, want to get rid of the physical, mental, and emotional issues that are holding us back. And he asked him, well, Dr. Siegel, what do you think is the problem? And without any hesitation, Dr. Siegel used one word to describe what he felt was holding us back from getting rid of physical, mental, and emotional issues. Now, I just want to bring out the fact that Dr. Siegel is now 83 years old. Lots and lots of wisdom. He's a retired surgeon again. He's written 25 books. So he's a man of much experience, much wisdom. He operated on patients. He treated patients. He became very radical. But the number one reason he feels that we are challenged and suffering from diseases is one word: childhood. And when I heard him say that, I stopped everything I was doing, and I'm like, this is such a confirmation of everything I've been studying for the last 10, 15, 20 years. And it's the main reason that tools like EFT are so popular in helping people get their life back together. And he went on to say, not just that one word, but childhood, but he quickly, very quickly, went on to say, and asked, did you grow up feeling loved by your parents? This is a man with so much experience in the medical field and medical establishment that it just stopped me in my tracks to think that this man is actually confirming the number one reason that we need to work on. It's not like there aren't other reasons why we are suffering from diseases, but the number one reason that we need to work on if we want to get to the root of our symptoms is childhood issues. Did you grow up feeling loved by your parents? And his words, Dr. Siegel's words, he has told many of his patients, you're going to have to abandon your past. You're going to have to abandon your past, because every disease, is what he's saying, is rooted in your past. And to go further into that, and we're going to get more into the solutions for that, because a lot of people, even when they understand that their past is connected to their present state of health, they still are suffering with the residue of their past. Especially melanin people suffering from the residue of slavery, which I listened to one YouTube about the residue of slavery, but just our population in general suffering from low self-esteem. Why you don't take care of yourself, and self-worth, Dr. Siegel went on to explain, is a big, big part of why people are suffering from diseases of all kinds. And addictions fall in there, especially because what people are doing with their addictions is they're numbing their pain because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel the esteem, which all started in their childhood. So we're going to go more and more into this subject today, because what Dr. Siegel, the nuggets of gold that he shared can be life-changing, because when you find yourself with symptoms that you cannot overcome, then you have to, number one, get back to your childhood. And if you're struggling with that, then there is help for you. There is help for you. We have a caller with their hand up. I'm going to go ahead and open the mic to area code 706202. You're on the air. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes. Good evening, Sister Beata. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Good evening. I can hear you. Who is this, Kwame?
Yeah, I'm on the highway coming from South Carolina, and it's raining here, too. And I was crossing over the river, and there's a double rainbow. And I'm wow, that was a beautiful message, because it's been a beautiful weekend. But even now, I just finished a presentation for a group up there in South Carolina, Easley. And that was part of the conversation and what I was presenting in dealing with disease or the environment in learning how to deal with our frequency. And
yes.
Dr. Siegel was very much on point, because in my recovery, we had to look at the inner child. And John
yes.
Bradshaw has an excellent book in dealing with the inner child, because, and Gabriel Monte has an excellent YouTube and book on dealing with, he's a psychiatrist that deals with addicts and ADHD and ADD. And so what he found is environment. And in the environment, it's how the environment in which a child is raised in, and if it's not given love and if it's not given the attention and nurturance that it needs, it winds up becoming addicted to something, because it has to have the stimulation of the body and mind to write endorphins for it to feel whole. And so I can see what you're saying about that, because I have a sister that just had a heart attack this weekend, and they had to do a stent in her heart and do a bypass, whatever. It's because my sister, and this is really, we've always told her, you got to get rid of this evilness. You got to get rid of this bitterness that you, and it's the stress in which we put ourselves in that causes this dis-ease. And a lot of it came from childhood, because I remember how we came up. But I was able to work through mine. She hasn't. And I'm knowing that this is part of her problem. And what, like you're saying, you got to let go of that childhood, or you got to learn to do, as was taught, is that you have to go in, me as a man, go in and see that little boy inside of me that's cuddled up in a corner in a fetal position and afraid of coming out into the world, and tell him, grab him by the hand and say, it's okay. I'm going to be the man that wasn't in your life when you needed a man. And
right.
That's the process of beginning to heal that inner child. Because as long as we keep that, we're going to keep creating disease in ourselves.
Yes, and then the first step is to admit that's the root. That is the first root that needs to be pulled up, is the beliefs and values that you're holding on to from your childhood. Even the fact that, even a belief that mommy and daddy didn't love me when mommy and daddy were going through their own stuff.
Right. And there's an excellent psychiatrist who works up in High Point up there where Miss AZ's from, and Dr. Mitchell Gibson. And he was working with a client. He does it in one of his presentations. And he's talking to this child because they're wanting to put it on Ritalin and do all of these other medications for this little boy. And he gets the little boy and he takes him in the room and he looks at his spirit. And he sees that his spirit is dim. And he asks him, you know, what is it? And he says, Mommy, when I tried to come through her once or twice before, she kept sending me back and sending me back. And I'm mad at her because she kept sending me back. And what he found out in talking to the mother, she had numerous abortions. And that fetus inside the womb remembers. And that child was angry. And once he showed her and told her about what the child was angry about, she apologized and amended to the child. And they didn't have to put it on medication. But there's a memory, even in the womb, that we carry that damages us into our journey called life.
Yeah, so very important. In fact, Dr. Siegel brought out the fact that when you're brought up with rejection or indifference or abuse, then as you grow older, you seek revenge. Just like you said, that child was seeking revenge in his own way. And I think that's the problem with attention deficit children. And then they feel guilty. So the opposite of love, which is what they're crying out for, is indifference, rejection, abuse. So we've got this cycle going on.
Right. But that's what I was saying about Gabriel Monte. What he found out in him being a psychiatrist, but he went back to himself where he came from, Austria, in the time of the Nazis, when his parents, he was a child and dealing with the Nazis. Pediatrician that Dr. Segel is, he said that all of the Jewish people were calling the pediatrician, asking him why were all the children crying and sitting and acting so fearful, is because the parents were. And they were feeling the energy of the parents and the environment what created that dis-ease, that uneasiness in that child.
Yes. And we're at a place in our history or herstory, as the goddess arises, that we have so many tools and solutions for this cycle of rejection, indifference, abuse from the past. And it's so important that as we move forward that we recognize, number one, the root of these diseases. That's why I'm doing this show, because we have to deal with that first. So many people are dealing with their diseases with pills, and with psychiatrists, a few of them, And even some are dealing with their diseases with some counseling, which is really the solution. If you, when you come to the acceptance that your childhood is the number one reason that you are suffering in your body, mind, and spirit, because you, as Brother Kwame is saying, you, the energy that you have carried from childhood is causing your brain to release chemicals into the body. And that's the problem we have with medical, the medical system. Doctors are not trained to treat the person's experience. Doctors are trained to treat the results or the diagnosis. They don't go to a, they don't ask the patient, well, tell me about your childhood. Most doctors don't have a clue about that. They don't even want to know because they have to get those patients in and out quickly. So they're not going to treat the person's experience or their journey of rejection and indifference and abuse. They're looking to treat the diagnosis. And therein is the problem, because we are multidimensional beings. The mind is always giving out chemicals from our thoughts, and those chemicals transfer to the body. All of our thoughts, this is a teaching I just listened to that confirmed this by a Dr. Jewel Pookrum, that all of our thoughts transfer to chemicals in the body. So we're going to get into that more. I have a caller at 336-350. I think that's Sister AZ. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you, dear?
Oh, sister. You hear this beeping. That beep, I apologize. I'm on the side road listening to you guys. Greetings, Brother Kwame, and your listening audience. Well, I'm finally on my mission. And
hallelujah.
Thanks. And
yeah.
Shoot. Let me call you back, sister, because
sure.
This is annoying. Let me call you back, okay?
Well,
I'm going to call you right back.
We are grateful that Sister AZ is on the road, just like Brother Kwame. Did you two time this or something?
I don't know. But I've been going on the road for 3 or 4 months, and I'm just now getting, let me see, Black Canyon City. Traveling to Vanilla Bright Permaculture Farm, and so I call you back.
Okay. Well, we want to continue
yes,
our topic, the number one
yes.
reason that individuals are suffering in their body, mind, and spirit even, with disease. As Dr. Bernie Siegel expressed in an interview today, this is just done today, that the number one reason, without hesitation, is childhood. That so many people are growing up feeling unloved by their parents, and they carry that even the energy that they get from uncles and aunts and cousins, all that plays into their psyche development from childhood into adult, where they begin to manifest in their body the thoughts that are transferring in the way of chemicals, especially hormones, because hormones are the messengers. And if a person is thinking thoughts of low self-esteem, low self-worth, then those thoughts are transferring from the brain to the body. And as I said, the problem with modern medical doctors is that they are not recognizing the whole person. They are not recognizing the thoughts that contribute to the body symptoms, and then the spirit of the energy of that childhood experience that's in the subconscious that is held, carrying and influencing the thoughts and the physical. So you have here the trinity of sorts, mind, body, spirit, creating symptoms in the body that are first and foremost coming from the thoughts and beliefs of the child. So you look at something that manifests, for instance, like depression. A child may grow up because their parents may have been depressed in their environment. And they did things like drinking alcohol. They watched a lot of TV. That child didn't get a lot of nourishment in terms as far as you are the best person on the earth. All they saw was dysfunction. So that child is developing some form of depression. And what depression should be used for is to help that person change their life. When a person is exhibiting depression, we as life coaches, and I'm doing life coaching as a business, as a profession. I mean, people hire me to help them set goals, and then we meet and I hold them accountable for their goals, and we have feedback and we review and we go through what the goals were, and I call them and I say, how are you doing? How are you doing on your goals? But you can have a life coach in a friend. Or do you have any friends that are whole and not on some psychiatric drug or in some place of depression? Make that person your life coach. That's part of what the solution, one of the solutions if you're on a budget, is to find a senior citizen even, a mature older person who you can talk to about overcoming the childhood challenges that you haven't overcome yet, and you know that they're related to childhood if you have any type of physical symptoms in your body. Look at the even the melanin people in our society who have the residue of slavery, as Dr. Jewel Pookrum calls it, and all of our thoughts of fear, growing up in a society where Jim Crow laws were prevalent and men and women were being hanged and you were losing your job if you were of a certain color. And so you've got many people who are suffering from the fear that they held on to during their young childhood just by being of a melanin race. So how do you change that type of reality where fear, or what Dr. Pookrum calls ignoring that you have a lack of information to create a new reality? Because all of us are here on this earth by divine appointment. And when we wake up to that and get rid of the childhood thoughts that mommy and daddy taught us or that we experienced in the home of our parents, when we wake up to the reality that we have a divine appointment and we don't have to carry any fear because that's ignorance or lack of information, then we can create a new reality. We can change our life or our attitude. So if our job is killing us, if our marriage is killing us, then we have to, number one, recognize that we may be holding on to childhood attitudes. Maybe you're in a marriage that is abusive. You're in a marriage that's abusive, and you grew up in a family where daddy abused mommy, or mommy even abused daddy with the wrong words, with words, violent words, abusive words. And so you're learning to do the same thing to your spouse, abuse them, verbally or physically. So if you're unhappy in that situation, what is it that's keeping a person in that situation? Childhood training. You grew up feeling like that's the only way to live, is in an abusive relationship. So Dr. Bernie Siegel has developed a website that gives you 365 prescriptions for the soul. Very helpful tool to start renewing the thoughts. Because that's where the chemicals are being transferred from to create the physical problems in the body. So your body only knows the sensations of pain or weakness. Your body is always representing your thoughts, representing the mind. So whose fault is it if you stay in the abusive relationship and the abusive childhood thoughts? Whose fault is it? Who can you blame if you once begin to recognize that you're in these abusive relationships, and even recognizing that you're depressed. Many people realize they're depressed, but what do? They go to a physician. And every medical doctor, with any doctor with an MD behind his name, is trained to write a prescription. So if you're going into a doctor's office and beginning to think about what did mommy and daddy teach you when you go into a doctor's office, well, mommy and daddy taught you to be submissive. The doctor has the training, he has the degrees on the wall, and so you listen to him. He knows everything. He's the expert, right? Childhood thoughts, childhood attitude. So you continue in that path. Many of us continued in that path for so long with a doctor writing prescription after prescription after prescription, and you're not getting any better, and you begin to realize that this isn't working for me. And I met thousands of people like that working in a health food store, managing that store for 4 years and then working as a sales rep in the vitamin department. I met thousands of people who came to realize the doctor's prescriptions were not helping them get well. And so whose fault is it when you continue in that cycle of looking for help from a doctor in a white coat? That is one of the childhood attitudes that we carry into adulthood because that's the way we were trained. And it really says a lot about self-esteem and self-worth because it says, I am not worthy enough to take charge of my own health. There's no library. There's no Google. There's nothing out there that can really help me take charge of my health. So I'm just going to submit to the powers that be and continue being depressed and on more medication. So we have Sister AZ back on the line. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Good to, I'm glad you're back on the line. And how's the journey so far? And what are your thoughts?
I'm just grateful. I'm very grateful to be on this side of the dirt and considering everything that I have learned here since November here on the reservation, I call it. It's amazing. My people are on this and they're on that. And, I mean, you know, you name it. One of them is on something, and some of them are on a ton of it, meaning meds. And Sister Viata, it's crazy. And you know, the childhood, you have to let it go. I'm so grateful for my angels. Lord, I am so grateful to be on the road. It might take me a minute to get there, but my thoughts, I need my solitude. I need to forgive more. I mean, it's ridiculous, these childhood issues. And, I look at my sister, and is this going on, and is that going on, and my nieces, I'm like, good Lord of mercy. These are beautiful young sisters with brains and knowledges of the yang. And is this medication and that medication and this alcohol and that alcohol? I'm not saying that every now and again I won't have a beer, you know. However, it's just childhood issues. And they're still holding on to a lot of that garbage. And I'm not saying that I'm not either. However, thank God, thank you Most High for Matt Kahn and many, many others, Joel Osteen, I have to turn it on until my internet shuts down until it boots up the next month, because I'm telling you, Sister Viata, I give thanks for the Brother Kwame's, the Brother Psyche's, who's on the other side, the Erica's, the Bobby Hemmings, the Viata's, everybody, the artist that has gotten me to this point. And I'm so grateful that my daughter, Misha, decided to get the heck on out of Dodge, meaning Arizona, go back to Virginia. Now she's in Atlanta. And I told her, when she sneaked up on me to see me, I said, "Baby, I love you. If you don't say a thing to me, you're taking care of your mental health by detaching from these crazy, off-the-chain, in-the-lunch, out-the-lunch box, insane asylum relatives." Okay?
Wait, and as you're so passionately expressing and accurately expressing, is in order to begin the healing process, you have to abandon your past. You have to abandon your past. And that's the beauty. That's when transformation begins to take place. When that's the thought, that's the first seed thought or thought seed that will awaken the cells to begin transformation. So the number one, the first solution, once you realize your childhood traumas and self-esteem issues and self-worth issues are what's messing you up right now, or what's causing your physical symptoms, then the thought has to come that I've got to abandon my past. And then people are searching, well, how do I do that? You need help to do that more than likely. You need help either from Google. If you're on your own, you can go Google it. If you're in a place where you don't have a computer, you can go to the library. Most libraries today have computers. So if you really want to get well, once you realize that your childhood is really the number one issue in your journey to get well, or your journey of sickness and weakness and depression, then to start resolving that is to start to get information and come out of ignorance. Because fear... It's all about ignorance. It's a lack of information. You're operating on this energy that something worse could happen, when you are so powerful. We are such powerful beings that nothing is going to happen unless we refuse to take action. It's interesting. One of the statistics that Dr. Siegel quoted was that a study they did about high school students, was the report said 70% of high school students said they had considered suicide, considered taking their life. And that statistic should really motivate us who are awake and on the journey to transformation and abundant health to begin to teach and reach out to parents who want the help. There are some parents who aren't going to ask for help. We are not going to help the whole world. But when we have parents who are asking for help, then the first thing we have to impart in their mind is that their childhood is messing them up. Abandon your past. Let's begin to look at the present moment. What can we do in the present moment? Are you depressed? Why are you depressed? It maybe doesn't even matter. The fact that you're depressed is saying you need to change your lifestyle. Whatever you've been doing up to now and you're depressed, time for a change. Are you ready to renew your life and start all over again with different choices and with different people in your life? You may have to get rid of all those toxic relatives of yours to get well, because those toxic relatives are teaching the same message that your parents taught, more than likely, that you're not worth anything, that you have no value in this life. And the key thing for all of us to remember is that we get into survival mode. The human species is meant to survive. And so we do things like addictions as a remedy for our pain. That's, we're trying to survive with addictions, alcohol, drugs, whatever. We do that partly because we are meant to survive. I wrote an article on LinkedIn about the superbug, because one of the Consumer Reports had a magazine, an article, a front page article about superbugs. And what I developed in my writing was that bacteria in our body, called microbiomes, are resisting these antibiotics because they are meant to survive. They're trying to help us survive. So when society, the medical system, is talking about antibiotics, resistant bacteria, and these superbugs are going to kill you, No. The superbugs are activating their own genetic programming to survive the antibiotics. Because if you don't have the knowledge about your microbiomes, your friendly bacteria, your microbiotics in your body, then you're in ignorance, and that ignorance is what can kill you. Because what does Scripture say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. And most people do not understand that they have a trillion microbiomes or bacteria family that are in your body to help you survive. So just that one little piece of information is what you need to pursue. That's the knowledge that we are lacking in our journey to transform and abandon our past. We are now in a season, and I'm sure Kwame can talk about the planetary energy that's going on, where the universe is trying to help us transform and renew our thoughts, renew our beliefs, and renew our values. That's where we are. And if you're not ready to go along with that program, guess what? Universe will take you out of here. That's the truth. Kwame, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And very excellent, you know, deduction as to these causes of the dis-ease, and even looking at it from the microscopic, because of the microcosm to the macrocosm. And right now,
yes,
we just had, yesterday was the Piscean moon, and we've just come out of what's called the Lion's Gate, and we're in the triple eight, because the Lion's Gate happens every year from August the 8th to August the 12th. But it's a time when the alignment of Leo and Virgo and the opening of the cosmic energy coming to the planet. And we're in, yesterday was a super moon. And that means that the moon was closest to the planet and it's beginning to shift the waters. And we're being humans, we're 70% body and 90% water in the brain. And so in that circuitry, the shifting of these energies. And also, we just come out of from November 28th, 2014, to August 25th of 2015, we just came out of the Black Moon, which is the Lilith Moon, which has a very powerful energy in being able to bring up stuff that we needed to deal with, things that, and then we have Venus, I think it's Venus, Uranus, Saturn. There's three planets there in retrograde right now, but anytime, especially Venus. Venus means that any planet that goes back into retrograde is telling us that we have to go back and look at certain things, and your cue is perfect, because going back and looking at this childhood and how this part of ourselves as a part of the disease, but when you look at any other country, and especially those indigenous people in these lands where their medicine people look at the spirit before they look at the person. And this is where they look at for the disconnection. It's because it's in the spirit that this person is being disconnected, because we talk about mind, body, and spirit. The mind and the spirit has a mind, and then the body has a brain. And so when you have distance between the mind and the spirit, the body is in between. That's why they say mind, body, spirit. Because the spirit's mind is you in between those two. You're the semblance of the mind of spirit. We are the mind of source. And so when we're not connected by the right energies, even in coming through in the womb, if the energies are distorted, that creates the dis-ease, the distance of the easiness that the spirit is bringing us to be here. That's what the word is saying. This distance from the ease of being able to be connected spiritually with your spirit mind. You're connected with your human brain because all of the seven chakras or the endocrine system are all brain. Each organ has its own brain. And they're all wired with the nervous system. And you began the program talking about balance. And even in the in the comedic, when Isis was putting back together the pieces, she had the special ceremony that she had to raise the spine because that's what the energy is going to run through first. It's called the Djed. You had to balance the being by raising his spine so he could get the energy through him and reconnect to the brain. So it's overstanding these ancient ways and writings and things that our ancestors left us in order to see, because in basically all countries that have homeopathic or healers or spirit workers, they work with the spirit first. Western medicine is backwards. This is why they're changing. This is why when I gave the example of Mitchell Gibson, seeing the aura, the spirit of that child, then he knows that there's something that's going on with that child deeper than the mental, because you got to heal the spirit before you can heal the body. You can heal the body. The body will heal itself. You got to just reconnect the spirit back with the mind so it can help the brain. And it's all about the energy. Because the plant medicine that is given, the minerals and the things, because our makeup as beings, we're all of these different particles of chemistry and minerals. The earth is part oxygen, part minerals, part water. And then you take the universe. It's the same. Everything that is in the universe is in your body. And when you turn around and disconnect from the energy of the universe and you cut off the frequencies and this distortion and you cut off the nurturing of that child, you cut off the energies to help it help you to grow in the right way. Because you can take a child in a room full of people, and if somebody's in there got a bad spirit, it doesn't know nothing about bad spirit, but it knows the energy that's coming from that person doesn't feel good. That's called instinct. And this is what we have gotten away from. All the creatures on the planet still use their instinct. Man made laws to change itself from being instinctual to lawly, and it's not working.
Hallelujah. We are
out of order.
Yes.
We are out of order.
But it's interesting. We've been given messengers on this earth, like Dr. Bernie Siegel, who was trained at Yale. He taught at Yale University. He graduated from Cornell, but through his work as a pediatric surgeon, he woke up. He woke up to the reality that first of all, childhood experiences are what's creating these diseases that he was doing surgery on. All those surgeries, if you can imagine, the Most High Creator put people on this earth to have an experience like Dr. Siegel had, where he was cutting people open, viewing the amazing kingdom inside of those bodies, and had to, and finally came to the reality, the new reality, as Kwame just expressed, that we're all energy. That it's more about the spirit in a person. It's more about coming out of the childhood traumas and abandoning your past It's more about not the physical so much, but the mind first. So we have several messengers that we have, the Creator has put on this earth, who had to go through those systems of the world. I'm grateful even for Kwame. Kwame has been on this show and shared his testimony, how he had to go through the war experience, that industrial war complex, and then to come out of that with much trauma in his blood, in his brain, in his mind, and then to go to a new reality back to Native American traditions, back to herbs, back to living a simple life, and now teaching us about the planetary systems and the energy around us. So Kwame is a wonderful example for us, and we're so grateful to you that for calling in each week to share that knowledge that you have gained after your trauma, after you went through all that system, that matrix, if you want to say. So we have so many people in our midst and on this earth who can teach us how to abandon our childhood. Dr. BernieSiegelM.com is one place you can go to his website, and I don't know Dr. Siegel, but I looked at his website and I thought, this is amazing stuff on here to help people overcome their childhood. Kwame is another person who you can connect with to help you get out of the matrix of urban life and get into sweat lodges and more simple living. Next year I'll be in a tiny house, and I'll be promoting tiny house living and what that means, transitioning from a big house, 2,600 square foot to 160 square foot living space. So there are many of us who are being prepared to help in this transformation that the universe is orchestrating. Sister AZ is on the move to set up the medicine wheel in another location in Virginia, so that the energy in Virginia can be used. That medicine wheel, those mineral people, can be used as a tool for healing. So she's on a mission. She's on a mission now to move those mineral people to the place where she has been told they need to be moved. She's creating a new reality out of the environment where toxic people keep telling you, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then when you have the melanin-rich blood, you can do anything. And that's where we have to wake up to that reality. There are plenty of Caucasians who have melanin in their blood, and I see that they are waking up. And there are plenty of dark-skinned people who have that melanin, and they are asleep. They are asleep and continue to hit the snooze button. So we have to be able to read the energy and the spirit of a person and disregard the color of their skin, because that is not the determining factor of who is going to assist us in this abandonment of our childhood and this creation of a new reality that will give us the prosperity and the health that we so desire.
And Sister Beata, you've made some very excellent key points in being able to look at the human being. That's what we were, and they created this concept of race and darker and lighter and this is better or that is better. The thing of it is that Source created every being. And the thing that I always say is, the sun shines on the earth, look at the ground, and we're all the same.
That's right.
Your shadow is all the same. And so the thing that you're looking at, especially looking when you were talking about finding the people and being life coaches, and I thank you for the compliment on, you know, my own personal journey, and this is what I share because
did we lose Kwame? Are you there? Kwame, are you there? Until we get Kwame back on the line, let me just say that one of the childhood experiences that we have to consider abandoning is finding is going to the men and women in white coats, because those people, that group of professionals, have the highest suicide rate than the average general public. Suicide rate among doctors and surgeons is higher than the general public. Why is that? I ask myself, why is that happening among people who went to medical school, who have lots of loans? I don't know if they pay how much money they pay to go to school, but they took out a lot of loans because they had a desire, I think, to help people. And now they have the highest suicide rate among more than the general public. Kwame, are you back?
Yeah, are you there, Sister Beata?
Yeah, I hear you now. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a very excellent point in about the suicide rate of professionals. And a lot of it has to do with when I went to college, I wanted to be a psychiatrist. And what I found out was psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate besides for dentists and then the medical field, the doctors and that, surgeons.
Right.
But in that being is that what they're trained to do, and them finding out and having to deal with the reality of they are not doing it correctly.
Yeah.
And having to live with themselves and what they're doing to human beings, and knowing that they're doing the writing of prescription and giving drugs and making people this way and keeping people, that weighs on your conscience because you're not doing it correct. So that is a major factor. You gave the example of Jewel Pulquam. Jewel Pulquam, when she was going to Roosevelt University in Chicago, before she went into medicine, she met a sister who helped Dick Gregory and Delbert Blair, and I knew her. Her name was Alvina Fulton. In the 50s, she had the first black vegetarian restaurant in the United States, not just Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first herbalist, and she taught how to fast, how to eat, to live, back in the 50s and 60s. And so with her being a way shower, a grandmother, giving us this information, and what we had is we used to have in our community those big mamas who were like the psychiatrists that sit you down at the kitchen table university and teach you about life and help you through the traumas that you're going through. We don't have those kind of grandmothers too many anymore. And we've got to look at what has happened to us. For one, grandmothers are now about 30 years old because they start having children at 15, and then now that child is at 15, and it's doing the same thing that the mother was doing. Now she's a grandmother and hasn't even came into the maturity of a full woman yet, by 40. So we have these type of things that are going on. But then we don't even call our neighborhoods communities anymore. And we stop calling them neighborhoods. We just say the hood. It's because we put on blinders and we don't know the person next door, the person across the street, or the person across behind us. And more than likely, you don't in an apartment building where you live at. We've disconnected from the humanness. And this is part of this ease, this structuring of disconnecting folk that look like you and I and the brown and some of the four whites. But there's a system set up. This is why they're doing things in alignment with the planetary energy, because they know how to work with the energy to be able to keep theirs at the highest frequency and turn yours down to the lowest frequency, like with music. Nature's frequency is 432. That is the natural rhythm of what we hear in nature, birds and trees, the sounds of nature, running water, trees blowing. That frequency is a natural healing energy, the sound of rain, thunder and lightning clearing the air and putting positive magnetic ions into the atmosphere. Did you know that if you have solar light, when there's a good lightning storm, it will charge the solar panels without sunlight?
Oh, that's powerful to know.
Yes.
Yeah. We need that.
But what we're looking at is that, you know, the part of and you were sharing the part of saying about leaving the past or doing something with the past. The past
abandoning.
The past is your foundation. That's what you stand on. Even if it was destructive, you stand on it so it doesn't have a way to rise again. Because in the part of being that past is the foundation, so you know I keep my closet open about what I did in Vietnam. I keep my door open about my addiction and my drugs and my abuse and my things that I did because I don't want to forget. I choose not to live it. That's the part of being human. We have the choice to change. As long as I can breathe, I can change.
Yes, yes. And you, and maybe the word abandon, Dr. Siegel used that word, but maybe the word abandon is not as accurate as maybe transform your past, because you're right. We can't forget our past, but we are wanting to, we have to learn from it. That's the whole, what you're saying is so true. That's our foundation, because that's when we come into this earth, we're going to learn a whole lot of lessons, and they're based on the past. What happened in your past? What's the lesson? What's the lesson? We have so many tragedies. We have deaths. When you think about all the people in your life who were in your past, who are now dead or passed on, what was the lesson? That's the whole point of death, is to teach us a lesson about that person's life. Look at the Trail of Tears with the Native Americans. And all that bloodshed, and what was the lesson? There's a lesson in all that. So yeah, we can't totally abandon it, but we need to transform it and use it to build up a new reality of life and hope and compassion and wisdom, to walk in wisdom.
Right. And Frantz Fanon in White Skin, Black Mask, he was a psychiatrist during the French Revolutionary War in Morocco. And what he saw in the Franco War in the people of color fighting then, the thing was is how they had that low self-esteem and how they had lost through caste systems of being. And what he was really saying, he said, is that each generation out of relative obscurity must fulfill its mission or we all fail. Each generation come is a generation that has a greater task to do from the generation before, because the ancestors tell us is that the earth is not inherited. We don't inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. We borrow it from those children, those seven generations to come, because we are having to take it and prepare it for them to have what it is that we want to see them to have.
Right, right. So even slavery, for example, there's so many lessons from that, especially about our diet. Because this is one of the areas that is near and dear to me, because I spent 10 years in a health food store, and the thousands of people who just by changing their diet got well, just that one transformation, that one renewal of mind helped a lot of people get well, and then there were always some who didn't get well, and I learned that because of the emotional state. There are some people who continue to stay in the mind of their parents, the old mind that says I have to do some things a certain way, I have to have these emotions, I have to react to things the way my parents reacted, with either anger or resentment or gossiping, and they are defeated by hanging on to those areas of their life, like emotional stuff, and yet they change their diet. But if you look at the slave's diet, the diet that the master, the slave master, regulated or controlled, that is what is many melanin people and even Caucasian people are on the plantation eating the fried chicken and the collard greens with the fat in them, all that pork is still in the diet of the children, the melanin children. Yes.
It's something about that I have to share with you, because in the slave diet, we survived because we were able to take the scraps that were given and being able to utilize it. We have what we call hereditary disease. We have hereditary diet because we grew up eating, you know, like you said, the fried chicken. But what we had that is not the same as what was then, that our parents lived to be 100 and certain years old, they would walk out and get the chicken out of the yard, wring its
right.
neck, pick, and do that because it was it was raised on your. So that part of it, what we have now is that we're hybriding and we're all of this stuff is not natural. You don't go out to your garden and pick your greens and pick your tomatoes to make your salad. You go to Walmart, you go to Kroger, you go to Ingles, and you buy it from someone else, is what they parents used to tell us. Be careful what you eat because you're putting other folks' hands in your stomach.
Right,
because
right.
Because we're not the preparers of our own diet. We don't even grow our own food. So how can we say we've got this slave? We're eating what the masters is now feeding the new slave population, the chemical food that's taking them out of here.
Right.
That is all
I mean,
because GMO is not genetically modified organisms. GMO means God makes the original. You got to go back to eating God made original food.
Right. And just look at the prison population. The master warden is giving them boxed food. That's the big difference between the plantation life, where everything was fresh, like you said, fresh chicken killed, the garden, go pull out the garden. You didn't go to any Publix grocery store and go to the freezer or go to the canned section and get canned food. Everything was fresh, and they ate simpler food. They didn't eat they didn't have these huge gourmet type big 7-course meals. They ate simply. They had a lot more simple meals. So now we look at a generation of even babies growing up on milk that's not from the breast. We got babies being fed out of a jar instead of scraps from the kitchen table where mom and dad got it from the garden. And we got processed food galore. We got fast food galore. And so if we don't get back to that simple, that good part of the plantation where everything was fresh and hand-picked and hand-prepared, then that's what's really causing, that's that childhood attitude that you had from the early, later times, centuries, where parents started buying from the grocery store and out of cans, eating out of cans and fast food McDonald's. That's the childhood memories that we have to let go of. The way mom and dad were feeding us from the box, the grits from the box, all the cookies and cakes and all that, that's the childhood memories, the sweets, apple pies, pumpkin pies, peach pies, and all the things that advanced or accelerated as far as preparation. Those are the things.
Right, and memories of this. It's like this example. Remember in your childhood ever happened where your mom gave you a cup, say, go down to Miss Jones' house and get me a cup of sugar. You go down to Miss Jones' house, get a cup of sugar. You come back home, she finished making that pound cake. She cut half of that cake up and sent Miss Jones part of that sugar back. That's what we were doing. We were bartering. We were sharing what we had. If you grew greens and tomatoes and Mr. Jones had some chickens down there, he'd kill you a chicken, send it to you, and you send him some greens and tomatoes, we didn't need grocery stores. We thought we did more with less than we do now with all of this that we think we have conceived of. We have lost economically millions of acres of farmland that were owned by our ancestors to move into a few thousand square feet of property when we own hundreds of acres. Something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, well, you've got urban dwellers who are totally ignorant, ignoring, and in fear because of the residue of slavery, that I have to go to a J-O-B every day. There's a childhood mentality in that, because that's from slavery. I have to go to J-O-B where the master will provide me work and feed me and give me the money I need. And then even the mentality that I have to go to church every Sunday because I have to be fed this religious food that's not even nourishing me, because I'm at the altar every day for prayer because I'm sick. I'm back at the altar every week for prayer. That routine goes on and on and on because of ignorance, ignoring the wealth of information out there that can help us create a new reality. We have been ignorant for too long.
And you're correct, and ignoring, because who's giving us these information? We have to begin to tell our story, not them giving us their story, because we, and looking at, do you know that when you talked about the Trail of Tears, the Oklahoma Territory, when they turned around and had the land rush, there were a few thousand people that took almost 200 million acres of land that belonged to indigenous people. They just stuck claim to it and put it into trust, that this trust is passed on to that next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. If we knew that even in slavery, when we came out, we had the hundreds, thousands of acres of farmland in the South, that because we wanted to migrate into the North and go into the industrial and thought everything, white ice was colder than black ice, and we left our black ice and went to the white ice, segregation was the worst darn thing that we ever did. Because if we had kept progressing with what we had and what we were going, we could have had the Black Wall Streets, we could have had Atlanta, Auburn Street, we could have had all of these different cities and places that we had established, that everything in the community was run by us, the doctors, the drug stores, the grocery stores. Now we got all of these other foreigners coming into our community, getting our money, taking it back, and educating their children while ours are in poverty. Something is wrong with this picture.
Absolutely. And here's we want to get into the solutions of having childhood mentalities, childhood attitudes that are keeping us stuck, sick, and diseased. And one of the solutions, as you just brought up, is for people, conscious people, to come together as a collective mind and energy and look for land to purchase. There's plenty of land out there. In fact, our brother L.A. is always talking about how the majority of the people are living on a minority of land mass. And there is land out there to be purchased. There are black folks even who own thousands or who own hundreds of acres of land, and they're not doing anything with it. So one of the solutions is that as we're waking up, we have to come together collectively and pool our monies and buy land. And then we have to look at developing a simpler life by building solar energy, building small houses, growing our own food. I got two messages on my phone the last day about some economic collapse that's going to happen, and banks are going to be closing, and it's going to be a 25-year depression and so and so and so and so. And I'm like, okay, so what else is new? Have we've been hearing that for quite a while. And it made me think of Joseph in the Bible and the drought that happened. And when he was in charge, he gathered all his family members in. They had stored up all the grain, all the wheat. That's what we do when we hear news like that, that there's going to be some economic collapse, is we put our heads together and we put our money together and we buy land and we farm that land. I have a feeling that the reason the unit or the creator has allowed the stress and the high blood pressure in African-American men and all the stress they're going through is because he's trying to push them out of the city and get them back to doing what they're good at, and that's farming and growing and building. And you're not going to get those opportunities in the city. And there are plenty of human beings of all races who are now thinking small house, land, grow food. This is not just a race thing going on. Lots of people on my Facebook page and throughout this land of the United States, we don't need to go to Africa to do this. There's plenty of land available here in this country, and there are plenty of people who own land who are ready and willing to get help and develop that land like Mama AZ is doing with a medicine wheel, whatever the universe is leading us to do. Mama AZ, you're back on the mic.
Sister.
Yes.
You know, one thing that I have overstood lately, the importance of being in nature and
yes.
working with the green earth. Arizona right now is extremely draining for me because it's dry. It's not like camping or being out in nature when vegetation is green. And one thing that I have seen that we must not allow ourselves to get upset about who is not doing what. It doesn't matter what race a person is, because since I've been here, besides yourself, the majority of the sisters and brothers that have come to assist me in any way have basically been Caucasian. And you know, if we are not willing to get unstuck on off of stupid, actually is no hope for those ones, because they are complacent and they're satisfied with the status quo. So therefore, I'm learning this in a major way. We must move with those ones, even if they're purple, to do the mission that we came here to do. I'm on my way to Vanilla Bright, to her permaculture farm. I haven't heard about any melanated people coming who are interested in growing their own food and learning about permaculture. To me, that's kind of sad. However, that's what it is. You see,
right.
We must learn to move forward, because if we wait, sister, for melanated people to step up to the plate, Jesus is not coming back. And it to me, it's like we're waiting for those people to get in line, because Jesus is coming back. You hear me now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sad. However, we have to get with our soul group of people who have like minds to tread this vision together. you see, because people, I mean, you know, people are just people. And I don't know what it is. Maybe in this lifetime they didn't want to learn how to grow their own food. They didn't want to learn how not to be ill and do something about it. That maybe they wanted want to experience what it feels like to be sick all the time. So, you know, we have to give them that space to let them do whatever they feel was right, and we find the ones who are on our page, sister. You know
I totally agree. This is a multiracial movement of the planetary energy, forcing people of melanin. There are people with pale skins who have melanin in their blood. So, as I said earlier, we cannot judge people by the color of their skin, whether they're melanated, empowered, conscious, powerful people, ready to move with the stars and the planets. We are moving with the stars, and the universe is pushing us into a new reality, empowering us who are hearing the voice of the Most High, Creator of heaven and earth. And it's not about race. It really isn't. I hope many melanin people wake up to that soon and realize, get detached from toxic people. I don't care what color they are. Get out of the environment of toxic people. And if there's plenty of Caucasian, light-skinned people who are ready to move, let's move. I don't care what color you are. Let's just move. That's the way we have to see it. Childhood. That's a childhood attitude to judge people, to discern whether a person should be moving with us based on the color of their skin. That's childishness to me.
Right, but there's a poster that they used to have up with a little black boy and a little white boy holding and hugging each other, set arm to arm, and it says, racism is learned.
That's right.
Because that is taught. I had one day in the grocery store walking with my cart down here in Georgia, and little kid was sitting in the cart, and I came past the cart, and he looked up at me, and he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, look, there's an N-word." And I looked at the little boy, knowing that it wasn't him that had learned that word, but it was his father. And I looked at his father, and I said, you taught him well. And walked away, because he learned that from hearing it from his parents. To look at me and say, identify me as the N-word.
Right, and you recognize right away that father and son have a dis-ease.
Right.
They have a dis-ease. Racism is a disease.
Right, it's created by a system.
Yes.
Because when you study the science of truth of where human beings biologically came from, like you said, a lot of them have black. They are our aberrant child. They're just a defective African. That environment that they lived in produced them to be lacking of melanin and living in a climate that they had to grow the human features in order to survive in that environment, in a cold, hostile climate. They had to grow to adapt to that climate. So they are nothing but our aberrant child. That's why I said it's human. We're moving from being Homo sapiens to Homo spiritus. These are the beings that now will occupy the seven generations from now, because there will not be nothing but in our history program that you read about racism. It won't be existing in seven generations. It took these many generations to bring it into now. And it's going to take a few more generations to get rid of. But with the technology and the people unifying in one mind through technology, there begins to be the disclosure of the sickness. Because it is a sickness. That's why it's called alcoholism, sexism, racism, because the IMS is the ill, sick mind of the being that uses it to think that it's power.
And just like we talked about earlier, how psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate before doctors and other medical surgeons. Those three occupations, psychiatrists, MDs, and surgeons especially, have a higher rate, more than the general public, they're committing suicide. And all of this is just to say that everybody reaps what they're sowed. The truth is in the cosmos. The truth is in the planetary system. Truth is in the stars and the energy within this human body. When a surgeon opens up a human body, they truth stares them in the face. And that's why they get on drugs themselves. These doctors are on more medications than some of their patients. And I remember going to the doctor with my ex-husband, and I was in the room with him because he had an injury on his foot from being in the islands where he cut his foot and it wasn't healing. And I went to that doctor with him, and I looked at that doctor and thought, what drug is he on? He was not conscious. And he's standing there telling my ex-husband what to do about this cut in his foot, and he finally just gave it over to the nurse and let the nurse handle it. And I thought, that was a really scary episode to come here and pay a man who's supposed to be a qualified medical professional, and he looked like he was on several drugs. And my ex didn't
really
see that. That's how unconscious some people are. They go to these doctors and they don't even discern that doctor isn't even whole in his mind and body.
Right, but even when you study, there's an excellent book that they've written. It's called Ebony and Ivy, and it talks about the Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all of those schools, but they also talk about the Philadelphia Medical School. And what they used in training people to be physicians was the cadaver of slaves and Indians. Even when
right.
you study about OBGYN, Marion Sims is the father of gynecology. What he did in South Carolina on those plantations using slave women without anesthesia, sanitation, anything, going into their wombs and their uterus, into their sacred space, and studying with no respect for their privacy of being a woman, and learning the whole structure of women's organs was done by him on women of color. Because the first physician wasn't Herodotus, it was Imhotep. He was a he dealt with the stomach, he did the nervous system, he did cataracts. They have papyrus, even the first birth control in the papyrus of Hunefer, found in the tombs in Egypt, show where the queen would mix honey and herb to make spermicide so they wouldn't get pregnant. We got to learn truth.
So we're coming up on, we got about a minute left. If you're listening and you have a comment, now's the time. We got only about a minute and a half left. But one of the biggest solutions to coming out, number one reason that we are suffering from diseases is our childhood training, childhood memories, childhood thoughts, childhood programming, is to educate yourself. Learn about the human body, yourself. There is enough information out there. I have a new website. It's yourholisticlifecoach.com. I'm ready to help whoever is ready to set some goals and do some planning and get out of the childhood behavior. And we have people on this line every week who are ready to educate and teach us about the cosmos, the energy around us, the energy within us. There's no more excuses for people to stay in childhood mode. There's too much information. The scripture told us knowledge would be increasing in this time, and it is definitely increasing. It's available to us. All we have to do is take the time, turn off the TV, get away from the phones. And even if you do have a phone, if you're going to have your phone, educate yourself while you're on the phone. Go to Google and learn about the human body. Go to Dr. website and get some prescriptions for the soul. Dr. Siegel, for many, many years, wrote prescriptions from pharmaceutical industry, and he has transferred and transformed his mind and life to now write prescriptions for the soul to help us on our journey. So there's no excuses. There's enough tools out there to help us overcome our slave mentality, the residues of slavery, and the programming from childhood. So at this point, if anyone has any comments, you can make those comments quickly. If not, we're going to sign off. And we appreciate you very much. Mama AZ is on the road, and we send her lots of blessings, love, energy, and protection.
Give thanks
for your journey that you're making, and we know that it will be profitable for many. Many will benefit from your journey, your energy, and your mind to take this mission before you. So thank you, Mama AZ. Thank you, Brother Kwame. And thank everyone on the line whose positive energy will send out this message on the World Wide Web to bring the uplifting energy and knowledge that is so needed today. So have a blessed week, and we give thanks. And Amy Ari continues to sing about the worst disease is hate, and the solution is love. Love yourself first. That's the key. As children, we didn't learn how to love ourselves, most of us. So we're overcoming that lack of love, learning to love ourselves. So blessings, much blessings, shalom, and aho.
Oh.
All right.